Hello and welcome to the Hoop Collective podcast. We are getting ready for the season. We're finally into a bit of a routine, and we've got the A team here getting ready for stuff. Joining us from Boston is Jackie McMullen. Hello, Jackie. Good to be back with you.
Thank you, Brian. How are you today?
I'm just average. And joining us from Tulsa, where he didn't get to see Luka Doncic or Kristaps Porzingis last night, but did get to see Boban Marjanovic, and I just butchered Boban's last name.
Just say Boban. Never pronounce the last name.
Boban and Steven Adams both hit three-pointers last night. That was worth the trip to Tulsa, right?
Boban's a career 40% three-point shooter, so let's not act shocked by that.
Right, but I just
love
that he...
4 out of 10 going in this year.
There you go. That's strong.
But you're burying the lead because Ben Simmons hit a three.
And Ben Simmons hit a three.
Ben Simmons hit a three.
But not in Tulsa.
No, not in Tulsa. In Philly at the end of the first half. From about, by the way, from about like 24 feet, I might add. I just want to get something out of the way right at the start here. Obviously, there is a big event going on in China involving the NBA. I don't like to talk about politics. I didn't talk about politics on this podcast a year ago. It's my belief I won't talk about politics a year from now. You may disagree with me that it's a political story. I believe it's a political story. And so therefore, I don't want to talk about it. And, you can disagree with me if you want, and that's fine. Nobody's telling me that I can't talk about it. It's my decision that I don't want to talk about it. I was just in China for a very long time. I had a number of folks come up to me over there who are fans of this podcast, and I appreciate it. I appreciate them as basketball fans. I had a guy who sat next to me on a plane and who was a big fan of the podcast, showed me he had downloaded all the episodes, and we spent that time talking about the NBA, which is what we do here. We did not spend that time talking about politics. And if I sat next to any of you on a plane or a train, I would be glad to talk about the NBA, but I don't want to talk about politics. So feel free to be angry at me about that. Feel free to turn it off. But we're going to talk about the NBA. I hope that's okay with everybody. That's just the way I want to go about it today. Everybody okay with that?
It's a human rights issue, but it's a human rights issue, not just a political issue. But this is your ship, and I am on it, and I am reporting for duty.
Thank you, Jackie. I think there are plenty of places elsewhere on the on the podcast sphere and in the media where that can be vetted and discussed. But I don't want it to be here. I want to talk about
it. Is also it's also a massive economical issue. But I got a C in whatever intro economics course that I took, so I'm probably not qualified for that either.
Well, it does become an economic issue for the NBA, which it very well could in the future. We will be talking about that. Yes, Mr. Hahn.
Brian, I just want to point out that if you were seated with our listeners on a train, you also wouldn't be giving title predictions or any kind of predictions.
That's right. So I don't do predictions.
We just put this all together.
I don't talk politics. So that will play out.
If I'm seated next to you on a plane, I'll probably stick my headphones in and take a nap.
Well, I will be too. I don't really like to talk about.
If I sit next to you on a plane, I want to see pictures of your son. That's what I would do.
All right, that would be.
Jack is a nice person.
All right, so this is an interesting little moment in the NBA, not just because of what's happening overseas, but also this is actually a miniature contract season. We did see a contract get done in the last couple of days. Kyle Lowry signed a one-year, $31 million extension. I can't remember ever hearing about a one-year extension for this kind of money. I think it was the – Woj reported it was the largest – maybe the first time ever that anybody got an extension of this type. This was an interesting move. Lowry, from what I understand, Lowry actually wanted more years – but he wasn't expecting to get $30 million a year for it. And the Raptors made a bit of a decision here where they said, all right, we're going to give you the money we might have given you over 2 years. We're going to give it to you in 1 year so that we protect ourselves in 2021 when the free agent class is deeper. It seems like it should satisfy all parties. It does take the Raptors a lot out of free agency next year, especially if Pascal Siakam does an extension. But it's an interesting move because it sort of implies the way that the Raptors may go about this season. Jackie, I thought that the Raptors may sort of go through the first month or two and then decide whether they wanted to play for the playoffs or not, and then maybe sell off Kyle Lowry and Serge Ibaka and Marc Gasol. This indicates to me that they may not necessarily see it that way.
Maybe, but I think your first point was the most salient one, and that is that the 2020 free agent class is not strong. And the 2021 free agent class has all sorts of carrots that people will be interested in, including Antetokounmpo, Kawhi, Paul George, Bradley Beal, potentially, Gobert, Jrue Holiday, to name some. And so, and I also think, and I might be wrong about this, but I do think Kyle Lowry has been the most consistent face of the Toronto Raptors franchise. And I do think this is a little bit of a reward, perhaps, for that.
I would agree.
It's a huge one-year deal. But to your point again, we're talking about contracts. We're talking about salary cap structure. So it's not like you just threw 30-plus million at somebody because you loved him that much. But if there was one guy to do this with, he would be the one that made sense. I don't think that Ibaka or Gasol should get too comfortable depending on how things go this year. I still think that those two are candidates, depending on how their season goes and how things go with Siakam, to be moving on.
He could still get traded, too. I mean, there's no trade clause in
he
there.
He could.
Even though...
Right, he could.
Remember,
Brian, like, Kyle Lowry came back. Remember, we all thought Kyle Lowry was going to examine the free agent market, and he didn't. I mean, I'm not
talking this time. I think he would have been interested in doing it, but I don't think he had any strong offers that year.
No, this time you mean. So. Or that other year.
I think he was going to get a max offer elsewhere, and I just don't think it materialized. And so he was hope. You know,
I
he ended up getting
was interest in him. Maybe.
Well, he was hoping for a 4-year deal, averaging about $30 million back then, and he ended up having to take a 3-year deal. But ends up being 4 years because they extended him. But the 2021 is the next sort of going to be the free agent market. 2020 is so thin, and that's what brings this other stuff in. So. A number of guys from the 2016 draft class have extended their contracts. Ben Simmons got a max. Jamal Murray. Was that a max that Jamal Murray got? I can't remember.
No,
if it was
not quite a max.
But it was a big deal. It was big money.
Some people Karis think they overpaid him.
It's an interesting concept. Karis LeVert signed an extension, which has been a bit controversial within the Asian community because they felt like he could have gotten more money, although he's had so many injury problems that locking in, I think it was $17 million a year was the average of that. I don't know off the top of my head. But there's a bunch of guys, and the deadline, I believe, is October 21st. So we're not in crunch time here, but these decisions that are getting made are affecting the market. So the guys who stick out as, you know, extension guys, Brandon Ingram with the Pelicans, Jaylen Brown, obviously, with the Celtics, Buddy Hield with the Kings, let's see, who else?
Oh, DeJounte Murray, too, right?
DeJounte Murray
coming off
torn ACL. We mentioned Pascal Siakam. And then the other one that I think could be interesting is Domantas Sabonis in Indiana. He's a pretty valuable player to them. McMahon, what do you think the market is for these guys getting these extensions? Seeing, especially since LeVert kind of got more, kind of lesser than the market was expecting.
Yeah, you know, I think Siakam is going to get maxed. To me, he's the guy who the Raptors are going to be building their franchise around, and that's whether they decide to go into kind of a retool mode, you know, trading some of those vets that you mentioned, or, you know, go all out and try to contend as much as possible right now for the next couple of years. All the other guys have question marks. And for example, Brandon Ingram, unless I feel like it's a very team-friendly type of deal, there's no way that I'm giving him an extension right now. I need to see consistent, productive play. He has never put together a long stretch
of consistent, productive play. I'm not throwing a ton of money at him just based on potential, when the other thing is I'm not even quite sure that he's a great fit for that roster. Jaylen Brown, I need to see him have a bounce back year. You know, Buddy Hield, I like Buddy Hield a lot, but you just paid Harrison Barnes. I also like Bogdanovich a bunch. You know, can the Kings afford to kind of keep all those guys together and have enough minutes to go around? So I just see question marks on every single guy you mentioned, with the exception of Siakam.
Jackie, Jaylen Brown is still working without an agent. Is that correct, to your knowledge?
No, that's not true. He's with Jason Gluschen now. He's with Al Horford's agent. Yep.
Okay,
yep.
That was news to me. He, for a while there, was working without an agent.
Well, he was. So, but he had the Goodwins as advisors. The Goodwins were advising him.
That's true. That's true. So this is an interesting scenario. So we all know that next year's free agent class is thin. I mean, I've talked to some executives who told me that if most of these guys extend, there may not be a max contract given out other than to Anthony Davis next summer. People aren't sort of including Anthony Davis in. We'll see how the season goes. I think that's probably a responsible thing to believe, that Anthony Davis is set to re-sign with the Lakers. But after Anthony Davis, they don't think that there's going to be a max contract maybe given out next summer. But here's what I'm going to say. And this is what affects these free agents right now, and I think it affects the way they're going to negotiate. If you look at who actually has cap space next year, it is teams who are rebuilding who would be interested in young players. So, for example, the Cleveland Cavaliers have a bunch of salary cap space next year. The Memphis Grizzlies have a bunch of salary cap space next year. The Hawks are going to be a player. The Hornets, even though the Hornets have come out and said we're not going to be a free agent player, they just went out and spent $60 million on Terry Rozier. Those are the types of teams that could consider giving offer sheets. We all remember a couple of years ago when the Brooklyn Nets were in the middle of a big rebuild, and you'd say, well, you know, they're not really in the market for major free agents. Yeah, well, they completely affected the market by the offer sheets that they gave out to guys like Otto Porter and Alan Crabb. Now, those offer sheets ended up not working out so well for the teams that matched them. Also, Tyler Johnson, they gave out three big offer sheets. All three of those guys have been traded because the offer sheets ended up being a problem. And so if I had one of these restricted free agents and I was trying to sort of hardball negotiate, as McMahon just said, some of these guys, their value is tough to determine. And in Ingram's case, you have health. I would be a little bit worried about those fish swimming in the free agent pond next year looking to try to pick off some of these guys like the Nets did a few years ago.
I'd be worried about the Hawks in particular, because the Hawks would actually be attractive. Not that anybody who's throwing around big money wouldn't be appealing, but you know, the Hawks of those teams are the one that you look at and say, you know what, that would be an attractive situation for a young free agent to go to.
I mean, Jackie, don't you think if Jaylen Brown or Pascal Siakam were unsigned, that the Hawks would be after them like crazy with offer sheets?
Yes, I do. But I also think, you know, it's funny, Memphis, they're not going to be good this year, but boy, I like some of their young pieces too. But it depends what these young guys are after. If you're Jaylen Brown, if you're Brandon Ingram, like if you're Jaylen Brown, let's take him as an example. You have to look at this lineup, this roster, and say, all we keep hearing about here over the last 2 weeks is, oh, Gordon Hayward looks great. Gordon Hayward looks great. He's going to get back to his old self. Well, if he does, that's bad news for Jaylen Brown. I got news for him. Because that team is logjam with wings. So maybe Jaylen Brown's looking at it and saying, how am I ever going to maximize my ability and my skill set on this team? Not that I don't like the team or the coach or the city, but how am I ever going to get a place at the seat, at the table, at the head table with the group that they have, because there's so many wing players. Now, Brandon Ingram, boy, with that blood clot, I mean, I'm really glad he's healthy. It appears he is. I'm not wishing anything badly on him, but that's something to monitor. That's a whole other issue.
For sure. Yeah, I mean, he's a complicated issue. But, you know, you look at, like, DeJounte Murray. By the way, I watched the Spurs play the Heat last night. I don't know if any of you guys watched that.
I did. Yeah, so did I.
Tyler Hero looks spectacular. I know I don't want to overreact to a preseason game, But I turned in. I tuned into the game to actually watch DeJounte Murray and Tyler Hero. And I know he played great in Las Vegas. I'm not. It's obviously, you know, he. But didn't he look great, Jackie?
He did. He really did. But you do have to be careful. We've seen this
of
so
course.
Many times.
Of
and you know, you can't judge anything about DeJounte Murray till, I don't think, till January.
I agree.
Because you have to give him time to reacquaint. But, you know,
but
I
the
just
Spurs have to judge it now if they want to extend him. That's the problem.
I wouldn't be surprised. I would not be surprised if they do extend him, because I think, you know, they were one of the few teams that were, you know, we know he had some off the court questions. I'll just put it that way. And the Spurs took him and have nurtured him at the way they like to do in that organization. And what do they call him? Baby Boy, right? Isn't that his nickname? Baby Boy?
And, I have not heard that, but okay.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's his nickname. And anyway, I think he's a kid that the talent, I mean, I just remember after they did it, after the Spurs drafted him, everyone's like, oh my God, here they go again. They've got another blue chip guy. And I was like, oh, okay. But, you know, we just haven't been able to see it simply because of health. But he might be, it's kind of like what, it's not this quite the same thing, but, you know, Orlando extending Markelle Fultz. You know, you're
well,
betting
they picked
on
up
what
the
you
option.
Knew before.
Yeah, they picked up an option, not a full new contract.
Right.
That's true.
Right. But that's a good point. That's a good distinction. But I guess what I'm trying to say is sometimes you look at someone and not where they are at this moment, but where you always thought they could go. And I think the Spurs really love DeJounte Murray. So
it was a $13 million option on Fultz, so it wasn't a no-brainer.
Pretty expensive option. But I would have done that. I don't know. I would have done that too if I were the Orlando Magic. If you trade for the kid, if you've done your homework and you've invested in him, you can't invest in him halfway.
Right. And the interesting thing to me is they had time. They had time on the I can't remember when the deadline pickup is. Is it? I think it's the start of the season, October 22nd, I think, or whatever.
I think some of them are October 16th. I think.
Okay, but
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit lost since the calendar, but they picked. I mean, he's shown some flashes in the early part of the season. They picked it up early, which I think was a sort of a vote of confidence in him. The timing on that was a vote of confidence in him.
Didn't any player need that more? Was there one player in the league that needed a vote of confidence more than him? So that's a good. Yeah. That's again a good move.
And they framed. You know, they had a they set up an interview with him that they did through their team. Mm-hmm. Their team website, and they had an interview. I mean, they made a little mini event out of it that they controlled, and they. So that's a good point. It's difficult. Another guy who would be extension eligible, who I think has a chance to get a deal, would be Malik Beasley with the Nuggets. This class has ended up to have some interesting guys in it. We'll see. I think every year, 2 weeks, to, you know, 10, 12 days out, you always hear, oh, these guys are not going to get deals done. And then all of a sudden, deals get done. So I just think that next year's free agent class, the nature of it, with its being so thin, might make the restricted guys more interesting. One other extension thing that I assume he's not going to sign it, but I think it's worth pointing out, is that Bradley Beal is eligible to extend his contract.
Right.
Now, he did not make All-NBA, so he was not eligible to get the Supermax, so it's very unlikely that he would extend it. However, I don't know for sure whether the Wizards have offered it, but I'm sure that they have. They had to have. Very low chance of him signing it, just because it's so much money he'd leave. But if he doesn't extend, it's going to be a signal to the rest of the league that, you know, to watch Bradley Beal like a hawk.
Sure.
And I mean, that was probably already going to happen. None of this is unexpected, but it is sort of a little bit of a moment if he elects not to extend his contract. And with the Wizards expected not to have a very good year, I think we'll start hearing Bradley Beal rumors almost immediately. Already it's being discussed by the executives behind the scenes. You know, right now, from what I understand, there's almost no trade talks going on, like nothing. It's like the deadest it's been, like, the executives can remember in years, mostly because, like, a third of the league just signed. And, you know, there's just not that many trade-eligible guys. But I was talking to a team within the last week, and they were like, yeah, somebody called us about one of our two-way guys. You know, it was like, he's like, we've never had a trade conversation about a two-way guy. So part of that is just it's a little bit dead in the NBA right now, but there is definitely Bradley Beal discussions already going on, Jackie.
Well, in a minute that deadline passes, and if he doesn't sign, which I think we were all expecting that's how it'll go, the phones will start ringing. Tommy Shepard will be a busy man. Now he's got Rod Thorne to help him. I loved that hire. Loved it. Give me some Rod Thorne.
Yeah, Rod's one of the most experienced people in the league.
Who doesn't like Rod Thorne?
McMahon, what teams could seriously, as we sit here in October, what teams do you think could seriously make a move for Beal? There, you know, the price of stars has really, really gotten high. And I know Bradley Beal's not Paul George, but, you know, he might be the only star available.
In terms of trade value, he might not be too far away from that when you consider age and health and, you know, a guy just entering his prime. And, you know, I mean, if you look at the numbers that he put up last season, people didn't really see it or recognize it that much because, you know, he was doing it in a team that had no chance of winning. But, I mean, I don't think it's a stretch to say that Bradley Beal is the best player who could possibly get traded during the season. But like you said, the question is where, and especially with, you know, contenders who have already really kind of pushed their chips in. I mean, the Clippers pushed their chips all the way in, the Lakers, the Rockets to get Russ. You know, there's so many teams that have already kind of gone all the way in. I don't know, could the Bucks put something together? I have no idea. But I mean, if you're trading for Bradley Beal, you're giving up multiple picks as well as, you know, at least one promising young player and whatever salary you have to do to make it work. So you've got to have a lot of assets to even get in the conversation.
Yep, Jackie, who do you think?
Denver Nuggets.
The team I was thinking.
Absolutely. They have players, they have picks, they're deep, and they could put together a package without having to disrupt Murray or Jokic. And
might take Michael Porter Jr., depending on how he plays.
Yeah, and it might be Gary Harris. So I think he's going to have a really big bounce back year and is really important to them. They have a lot of guys like that. They have a lot.
And they might feel like they need to, because of the West arms race that I just kind of ran through, might feel like they need to make a significant move to give them a chance to kind of come out of that pack.
You know, so this is, a lot of people out there are like, boy, wouldn't Bradley Beal look great on the Lakers? And this was my reaction after they traded for Anthony Davis. What an acquisition. I mean, Anthony Davis is an incredible acquisition. I think he will be great with LeBron. I think that they are definitely a contender in any seven-game series. But my concern is, after they executed that trade, was that they just didn't have many assets to improve the team going forward. You know, let's say Bradley Beal wanted to be traded. You'd have to hope that the Wizards were in love with Kyle Kuzma or something.
You cannot be the Washington Wizards and trade Beal, and you know you're going into a rebuilding mode, and not get back just a collection of picks in addition to significant young talent.
No one is available to take your call.
So a few weeks ago, I was walking around Staples Center, and I was overtaken by wave after wave after wave of Korean teenagers there to see a K-pop concert. And Andrew Han, I didn't see you there.
Oh, I was there.
Oh, you were there.
I was there. If you looked harder, you would have found me. Thanks for telling me you were there.
Oh, no, I wasn't really there. I thought, you know, maybe you weren't able to get tickets. but obviously it's a priority event for you, so you're able to do that. So I'm glad. The next time K-pop comes to Staples Center, though, however you got your seats, I would advise that you go with Vivid Seats, because whatever you paid and wherever you sat, you might have been able to get a better deal with Vivid Seats, because they're an online ticket marketplace that's dedicated to providing fans of live entertainment with experiences that last a lifetime. With Vivid Seats, listeners can watch their favorite teams and artists perform in person, earning credit back on all purchases made through the Vivid Seats app and the Vivid Seats Rewards Loyalty Program. You would be terrific in that Rewards Loyalty Program. Just your K-pop spending alone. I mean, we could probably go see like Fleetwood Mac for free. Vivid Seats helps fans find seats to any of their favorite live events, of course, including sports concerts and, of course, the theater and more, all through the Vivid Seats apps. They offer great prices and an easy purchasing experience, as well as, we mentioned, that in-app loyalty program. With reward statuses ranging from MVP to Hall of Famer, customers can earn between 10 and 16% credit on all their purchases through the app. And right now, you can get a 10% discount when you use the offer code ESPN25 at checkout. And most importantly, all Vivid Seats orders are confirmed and backed by 100% guarantee. I hate it when I see Andrew standing outside a concert in tears. That happened one time when his seats weren't backed. But it will never happen again using Vivid Seats. So Vivid Seats, the best place to get your tickets.
Awesome.
All right.
You know who the K-pop equivalent of Fleetwood Mac is?
No.
It's probably a band called 2NE1.
I think I've heard of them.
Pretty big band.
Are you a fan of 2NE1?
No. I don't like Fleetwood Mac.
Hello. No one is available to take your call.
So here's another team that I don't think today, Jackie, you know, we have to see how the season plays out for sure, but a team that has the assets to do just about anything is the Pelicans. They have all of those Lakers picks. They have Lonzo and Ingram. Now, maybe Ingram doesn't come out on fire. Maybe the concerns over his health are real, what have you. But what if Ingram and Ball played like really well early in the season? You know, what if, you know, they have those Laker picks, they have those young players, they have, if they needed a contract to help facilitate a big trade, they have Derek Favors, contract that's got 1 year and I think $17 million left on it.
Mm-hmm.
They are a team, you know, and I don't think they're looking to do anything right now, but I'm sort of looking out towards January, February. Like, what if Lonzo Ball really looks good? What if
I think he will.
What if that's all of a sudden like a really valuable piece with all those extra Lakers picks and swaps? The Atlanta Hawks too. They have good young pieces.
They do.
And maneuverability.
So, I'm just thinking aloud here, like, who else? I mean, I've just thought the Nuggets, because don't they have the Thunder's pick next year? I believe they do. It's a protected pick. They have their own Thunder's pick.
No,
they gave up a pick. Yeah.
They traded for Jeremy Grant. They traded their pick.
They gave up their pick. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know their pick.
I don't have it in front of me.
I don't have it in front of me. But I'm in agreement with you.
And imagine if they added Bradley Beal to Jokic, Murray, and Paul Millsap. I already like their chances. I would like it even more.
Yeah, and Beasley is an interesting player. I don't know if the Nuggets are going to be able to quote unquote afford Beasley. He may be a guy that a team covets because he could get more playing time. He's a little bit limited there. But no matter what happens, if Beal doesn't extend and the Wizards get off to a bad start, which both of which I think are going to happen, right. I don't see how that's not a big name. And then another
Beasley's
trade.
Rich Paul, right? Isn't Beasley Rich Paul?
In fact, he is. Yeah, Beasley and DeJounte Murray, both Rich Paul. And what you know about Rich Paul, they don't exactly, you know, they've extended contracts in the past. They just extended, you know, Eric Bledsoe's contract. But typically, when it comes to extensions, they play hardball. I go back to Tristan Thompson, who not only did turn down an extension, but went into a contract holdout. They aren't very forgiving when it comes to doing fall extensions. But who knows? Every situation is different.
It's different.
But
it's supposed to be, right?
Speaking of potential trade market, super early, I know, but to me, one of the things that, you know, you're looking at very closely as the season unfolds is D'Angelo Russell. And
yeah.
To me, it's almost a referendum on the Warriors season when we get to December 15th, which is the day where guys who were signed last year can be traded. Or is he a January 10th guy? There's certain guys that are available December 15th and certain guys available January 10th. We need Bobby Marks to clarify all that. I think it's December 15th. If he's all of a sudden available on the trade market December 15th, it means the Warriors' season isn't going that well. If it's not a discussion, it means the Warriors' season is going really well.
I don't know if I necessarily agree with that. Because I think they need D'Angelo Russell to kind of get them to Clay, at least, if you know what I mean. They need D'Angelo Russell to give them that scoring until Clay is able to come back, and then there's obviously going to be some time. Clay needs to get up to full speed. So I think D'Angelo Russell could even be playing well, but they'd still would entertain trade discussions and obviously be expecting to have talks with the Timberwolves after they showed so much interest in Russell. But they gave up a lot to get Russell, a lot to get him. Two future first-round picks, one to Brooklyn, one to Memphis to get off Iguodala's contract. So if they trade Russell, they better get a heck of a return.
So let me just read to you what Steve Kerr said about him. You know, he did not exactly look impressive. And again, we're in October. Let's not freak out. But this is what Steve Kerr said about him after their first exhibition game. They played the Lakers, you can remember, on I think it was Saturday or Sunday. I'm just going to read the quote, and you can discern what you can discern from it. He's not a guy who plays a ton of pickup ball in the summer, so he uses the preseason to get his conditioning, and you could see he wasn't quite there, nor did I expect him to be in game one. The main thing is he just has to get his legs underneath him. You saw him make some brilliant passes. He's a wonderful passer. I think he's going to make a huge impact on our team, etc. So Steve Kerr, I would say, not exactly impressed with his conditioning, at least coming into the season. I know it doesn't mean a whole lot, but just monitoring it on the stove. Just keep an eye on that situation, Jackie.
Yeah, so our old friend Ethan Strouth wrote something a couple days ago saying that he was as wary as we were about this idea of Russell. You know, we didn't trade for Russell to trade him again. And now Ethan is being persuaded that they're trying to turn him into a foundational piece, to use Ethan's words, next to Steph Curry. Maybe they're just hoping that Steph Curry can, you know, grab this kid, put him under his wing, and make something really cool happen for the two of them.
I was talking with somebody from the Warriors recently, and they said that that Russell has absolutely been a sponge around Steph, you know, picking his brain, shooting with him, and all those kind of things. And obviously they feel like Steph can be a great influence on the guy.
The Warriors have been very vehement, both on the record and off the record, that they did not sign him to trade him. Has elicited a lot of eye rolling through media members and other league executives. I will say this. It was a bit of a risk to go that route. It cost them to be able to pull that deal off. It cost them two first-round picks because they had to trade one to Brooklyn to make the deal, and they had to trade another along with Andre Iguodala to clear the space to execute the sign-and-trade. That's a pretty big maneuver to do to just create a trade asset. Now, maybe that's what they did, and if they make a deal with him later on that totally reinvigorates them, then okay. But I'm going to take them at their word to a certain extent here, because I just don't, because you know, there were other players that they could have traded for. There were other things that they could have done to fill this gap other than D'Angelo Russell. Now, granted, if they had traded for guys on one-year contracts, they'd have been holding a bunch of money next summer and had nobody to sign, which I think is one of the reasons why they signed and extended Draymond now. And, you know, maybe this was a better, this was their chance to actually get a star-level player. But I don't think you trade two first-round picks away for a player and pay him, you know, probably over what he would have gotten. Other, I guess Minnesota was offering him the max, so yeah. Yeah, that would have been his value.
Right.
But it was a pretty big contract for him. I don't think you do that just on a gambit, but maybe I'm wrong. Maybe that is
well. It's not like they have to trade him this year, and you could argue they probably shouldn't trade him this year because, you know, the best case scenario I think is for Clay to kind of work his way back to being close to full speed, you know, full Clay by the playoffs. So you can argue they definitely need him for, you know, to carry a significant load for at least this regular season. But I mean, that, you know, you can, it's a 4-year deal. There's 4 years, you know, you could trade him in the middle of next season or you know, the summer after that or whatever. I would be surprised if he ends up playing that whole deal in Golden State, and certainly
well,
the comments that he has made indicates that he is well aware, you know, hey, I got my money, I'm playing for a great franchise, how long I'll be there, that remains to be seen, is essentially what I took from his comments this summer.
Okay, but I'll play devil's advocate on this, though, because let's just say that Steph does put him under his wing, and that he gets comfortable in the Bay Area, likes the culture there. We seem to use that word a lot these days. You know, Bob Myers is a very, very hands-on GM, former agent. We know that. He knows how to make players happy, apparently, except for Kevin Durant. But that's another story for another day. And so let's just say things go pretty well, better than we all thought, and Clay comes back. Why can't he be a part of their future going forward? Why can't he be a guy that lives out his contract there and helps them get back to where they want to go?
And you could say, hey, Clay in today's NBA could play the three. Is there really that much difference between the two and the three?
He defends,
not really.
He could definitely.
Yeah.
He could play the four.
Yeah.
The way
yeah.
he defends.
It's a wing league.
Yeah, I mean, there's teams figuring out ways to get four wings on the court. I don't think that's the issue. But it'll just be, you know, the thing about it is, it's not just that they would want to trade him. It's that they put themselves in position that he would have good trade value.
Right.
They could trade him easily, depending on what they want to take back. But you'd have to get a star quality player back, you know. Let's say D'Angelo Russell has a kick-ass first half of the season. If we get to early February, who's to say that Bradley Beal isn't on the market for D'Angelo Russell if the Wizards are really impressed? You know, if that's a dream scenario, then of course, you know, you're seriously thinking about it. But if you're trading for, you know, two prospects and a draft pick, maybe it's not the same way. But, like the Bradley Beal thing, I just feel like that's something that I can tell you right now that the executives are watching that. I mean, these are the things that they're watching and keeping an eye on and keeping track of. And at this time of the year, you know, this is what these teams are doing. You know, everybody made their moves over the summer, and now they're like, okay, what is the next wave of moves? And because we don't have a lot of basketball to watch right now, this is what the guys are talking about. McMahon, how much have you seen of Porzingis so far?
I was hoping to see some last night, and certainly I think an ESPN watching audience was hoping to see some last night.
Yeah, no problem.
I was disappointed.
First of all, why the hell is anybody scheduling a back-to-back during the preseason? But that's a whole nother
thing. The Heat are playing a back-to-back tonight.
I mean,
that is nuts.
Just absolutely idiotic.
Especially with most teams playing only four or five preseason games. Back when they used to play eight, you know, okay. But now most teams are playing four.
Yeah, so Porzingis played in the little kind of, you know, fan jam scrimmage, which is basically like, you know, that's not real basketball. I mean, that's go out and put on a little show, make some shots, throw down some dunks and whatever. So I haven't seen a whole lot. You know, he has played a lot. Obviously, he's been practicing since late last season. He got back in early September, has been playing pickup ball, you know, heading into training camp. He's been full go for practices. The people I talk to, you know, who have been watching him, who have been, you know, playing with and against him, all say that he looks great. You know, he definitely bulked up. He looks like Ivan Drago. He's weighing 242, and it's a lean, you know, cut up 242. You know, I hear he's really explosive. I mean, there's no reason he shouldn't, you know, come back hitting the ground running, but there's going to be load management. He's not going to be playing in back-to-backs, certainly all indications are, at least early in the season. But, you know, if he doesn't come back playing at an all-star level, I would say that would be a significant disappointment for the Mavericks.
People are going to be surprised how good he is defensively. He's really good.
He's an elite rim protector. And, really, you know, especially playing with Luka, a potential mid-20s point per game scorer.
What's Luka's conditioning like right now?
Luka looks great. And that was the big question with Luka all along. Is this guy going to take conditioning seriously, or is he going to, you know, drink beer and eat pizza and kind of be a pudgy guy who never quite hits his ceiling because he's never in great shape? And look, he's not ever going to be a shirtless Instagram model, but
like your boy Parsons.
Yeah, but he's going to be a hell of a basketball player. And I need to find out what he reported out weight wise. Last year when he came back, he was 247, which is big, puffy. He's lean. I mean, he's lean. He took it seriously, and it's not just the Mavericks and you know they're. I forget his fancy title. Their fancy titled strength and conditioning coach, Jeremy Holsoppel, who worked with him a ton this summer. Bill Duffy, his agent, has been in Luka's ear consistently and kind of uses Steve Nash as the example. Hey, this is a guy who improved his conditioning, took it seriously, got quicker, got better throughout the course or, you know, for much of his career because of how seriously he took it. And essentially the message to Luka has been, your ceiling is you can be a perennial MVP candidate, or you can be a really good player who never quite realizes his potential because, you know, you don't take that stuff seriously. And this summer, he absolutely kind of rose to that challenge.
Yeah, and he didn't have a team to play on because Slovenia didn't qualify for the World Cup. And
right, and he wasn't playing deep into the summer with, you know, with the Euro League stuff. It was, and, you know, the Mavericks got bounced, obviously. I mean, his season shut down before the playoffs. Right. So it's the first time he's really had a long summer where conditioning could be not just the priority, but the only focus.
Well, I suppose they're supposed to both play in Detroit tonight. So, by the way, not just a back-to-back, but a lose an hour. You know,
it's the stupidest preseason schedule I've ever seen. Why are you traveling that far and it's not an international thing during the preseason? It makes no sense, especially on a back-to-back, but whatever.
Yeah, I was disappointed last night. I mean, I knew it was announced before the game they weren't going to play, but it was disappointing.
Well, the weird thing was Rick was super secretive about it, too. Carlisle was super secretive about it. Like, okay, and he realized that it was a bad look on national TV, but, you know, he...
Well, not only is it... I mean, maybe they don't care about this, but not only is it a bad look, but it's Tulsa's one chance to see an NBA game.
Yeah.
And I remember early in LeBron's career, the Cavs had a game where they played in Rochester, and LeBron sat it. It was the second night of a back-to-back, and LeBron sat it. And it was fine, but, like... LeBron is never going to play in Rochester, I don't think, ever again. And, you know, when the Cavs scheduled that game, they had to know that the fan, you know, they market the game, come see LeBron James and the Cavs. And I always feel in that situation because when is I don't even know if the NBA's played a game in Rochester since then. So,
well, I will say this. I'm not quite sure the fans in Tulsa
would know the difference, because I was asked by two different people walking around downtown Tulsa yesterday if I was an NBA player. So I'm not sure they quite know what an NBA player looks like.
Jackie gets asked about her WNBA stardom all the time.
Oh, no, not anymore, man. I'm too old. They're really not doing that.
Well, I've got a ton of gray in my beard, so I'm like, what are you looking at?
Yeah.
They might have heard about my performance in the recent ESPN pickup game where I was pretty dominant, but I don't know.
Yeah, I heard you were throwing elbows.
I was getting buckets. Whether the elbows preceded them or not is a, you know, you got to do what you got to do at my age.
All right. Well, we look forward to talking to you regularly coming up here. We're getting into full swing. Thank you, Mr. McMahon. We will talk to you next week. Thank you very much, Jackie. Talk to you soon. And thank you for listening to the Hoop Collective.